give her a reward of her labors, and let her works praise her at the city gates. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, on this day, 320 years ago, 2 days after the arrival in what is now Detroit, Antoine de la Motte Cadillac, known today as Cadillac, and his expedition built a small log structure in Fort Pontchartrain dedicated to Saint Anne, patron of New France. The devotion to Saint Anne in France is very old, having begun at the time of the Crusades. It was brought to Canada and Detroit in the 18th century. Saint Anne is not mentioned in the New Testament. Everything that we know about her, we know from the Proto-Evangelium of St. James, an apocryphal work that describes Our Lady's birth and childhood. The Hebrew name Anne, or Hannah, signifies grace. St. Joachim and St. Anne, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary, are justly honored in the Church, and their virtue is highly extolled by St. John Damascene. God has shown many times in history how much he is honored by the devotion of the faithful to this saint, who was the great model of virtue to all those in the married state and charged with the education of children. It was a sublime dignity and a great honor for Saint Anne to give to a lost world the advocate of mercy and to be the mother of God. But it was far greater happiness for her to be under God, the greatest instrument of Mary's virtue, and to be spiritually her mother by a holy education in perfect innocence and sanctity. Before being favored with the greatest blessing ever bestowed on an earthly union, the two holy grandparents of the Word made flesh had to pass through the purification of suffering. Through these apocryphal texts, we know of the prolonged suffering undergone by both St. Joachim and St. Anne. St. Joachim was cast out of the temple and was left sorrowing in the desert, and St. Anne was left alone to mourn her widowhood and humiliation. Showing her devotion to God and the acceptance of his will, St. Anne did not fail to celebrate the feast of her Jewish religion, and it was during these celebrations that she was visited by an angel of God and was given the news that she would conceive a child. In due time, Mary was born, and her curse of sterility was at an end. Today is therefore a great day when we honor the Mother of God and the Grandmother of the Savior. The thought of the prodigies wrought in St. Anne brings new joy to heaven, rage to Satan, and triumph to the world. St. Anne is the starting point of our redemption. She is the horizon scanned by the prophets. She is the first span of the heavens to be empurpled with the rising fires of dawn. The blessed soil whose produce was so pure as to make the angels believe that Eden has been restored to us. But in the midst of the incomparable peace that surrounds her, let us hail her as the land of victory, surpassing the most famous fields of battle, as the sanctuary of the Immaculate Conception, where our humiliated race took up the combat begun before the throne of God by the angelic hosts, where the serpent's head was crushed, and St. Michael the Archangel, now surpassed in glory, gladly handed over to his sweet queen at the first moment of her existence the command of the Lord's armies. St. Gregory the Great reminds us that in today's Gospel, our Lord is giving us earthly images so that by them we may come to know heavenly things. By things that we can see, hear, touch, and know, we can come to gaze in contemplation upon things that we cannot see, hear, touch, or even know. This great gift that God gives us is not meant to be shown off to the whole world. As our Lord says in the parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. He who finds it hides it, and in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Nothing much is known about St. Anne, but we know that she kept a treasure hidden within her. It was in her womb that the Immaculate Conception happened. St. Anne brought up the Virgin Mary to be pure, devout, and virtuous, so that she would, in her own turn, be ready to conceive the incarnation, to receive the incarnation of our Lord at the appointed time. For a long time, theologians asked what the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary must have been like to conceive a baby free of original sin. There have been recorded apparitions of St. Anne defending her sanctity by the fruit of her womb, the undeniable virtue of Our Lady. In St. Anne, we see such hidden sanctity, such wondrous virtue, such zeal for the house of God, such devotion and piety. Certainly, she protected this treasure by being the strong woman of the Book of Proverbs that we had in today's lesson. Even if it was Mary's sweetness that attracted heaven to come and save us, let us remember that a perfume impregnates its fragrance in the vessel which carried it. St. Anne is a vessel of grace, not by name only, but by the possession of grace, a participation in the life of God. She provided the body that would give the flesh for the incarnation. She was chosen by God to form his most beloved spouse to perfect virtue. In the education of her illustrious daughter, St. Anne played the part of a true mother. Not only did she guide Mary's first steps, but she cooperated with the Holy Ghost in the education of her soul and in the preparation of her incomparable destiny. When the work had reached the highest development to which she could bring it, without a moment's hesitation or a thought of self, she offered her tenderly loved child to him from whom she had received him. Sic fingit tabernaculum Deo. Thus she framed the tabernacle for God. A pious care of this illustrious daughter was the greatest means of her own sanctification and her glory in the Church of God to the end of ages. It is a lesson to all parents whose principal duty is the holy education of their children. By this, they glorify their Creator, perpetuate his honor on earth to future ages, and sanctify their own souls. St. Paul says that it is by the education of their children that parents are to be saved. So let us confide our intentions to the grandmother of our Lord. She will teach us her quiet ways. She will help us silence our internal rebellions, dominate our passions, and grow in virtue and perfection. Under her loving gaze, she will teach us that firm, persevering love for the kingdom of God and that confidence in divine providence by which we will stay close to our Lord until he leads us home. Smile then, dear Mother, upon our chants and bless our prayers. Today and always be propitious to the supplications which our land of sorrows sends up to thee. Be gracious to wives and mothers who confide to thee their holy desires and the secret of their sorrows. Keep up, where they still exist, the traditions of the Christian home. Over how many families has the baneful breath of this age passed, blighting all that is serious in life, weakening faith, leaving nothing but languor, weariness, frivolity, if not even worse, in the place of the true joy and solid joys of our fathers. How truly might the wise man say at the present day, who shall find a valiant woman? She alone, by her influence, could counteract all these evils, but on condition of recognizing wherein her true strength lies, in the humble household works done with her own hands, in hidden, self-sacrificing devotedness, in watching by night, in hourly foresight, working in wool and flax and with the spindle, all those strong things which win for her the confidence and praise of her husband, authority over all. abundance in the house, blessings from the poor whom she has helped, honor from strangers, reverence from her children, and for herself in the fear of the Lord, nobility and dignity, beauty and strength, wisdom, sweetness, and content, and calm assurance at the latter day. Saint Anne, Mother of the Mother of God, Grandmother of the Savior, Mother-in-law of our holy patron, Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.